If you'd like to turn to Luke 15, you can. Where's Tom? Hey, Tom, look up Psalm 139, 23 and 24, would you? You know, this is the quietest world we're ever going to be in. You may think this is noisy. What do you think hell's going to be like? Think it might be a little noisy? What do you think? What about heaven? You think everybody's just going to be sitting around? What do you think? Get to see Jesus face to face? Out of these bodies? Free? In thy presence. Psalm 16:11. Kind of like King James. But anyway, 16:11. In thy presence is fullness of joy and life evermore. So what do you think? You think heaven's going to be a little bit noisy? You know, we, for years, as I was brought up, go to church. It was, I didn't get a whole lot out of it, to be honest. And it was real quiet. And I remember the main church I was brought up in, as we grew up, you'd go in there and all these stained glass windows and high cathedral ceilings, all beautiful and everything. Everything's all wood and all beautiful. But you go in there and it was like you could hear a pin drop. There'd be people all over the place and it was huge. And you go in there and it was like you could hear a pin drop. And it was like everybody just sat there, just, you know. And it was like, what are we doing here, you know? There's times that you get in the presence of God and you just can't move. It is just so still. But where I live a lot is this place of just noise, okay? And hearing him talk, because God's a jabberjaw, you know. He made me after his image, okay? So God likes to talk a lot. And God's excited. And God loves us. And his love, we are the objects of his affection. And he just pours his love upon us. He had to make so many people just to have so many receptacles he could pour his love out on. Have we been talking about the love of God?
Yes.
Has anybody been hearing about the love of God?
Yes.
What do you, if I was to ask you, what do you understand about the love of God, or what do you believe, or what do you really believe about the love of God now that maybe you didn't believe a month or two ago or something like that? What is it you know or believe, yes, sir, about the love of God that you didn't know a month or 2 months ago, that something's happened inside of you in the last month or two that God's revealed to you about his love? So he loves us just like we are. Wow. And he loves us not based on performance. Wow, that's different than what I've been taught. What else? Anybody get anything about the love of God in the last few weeks, month? And you know what? You don't always feel love, you know? love is not a feeling. Feelings, as my wife would say, feelings follow fact. There's fact, there's faith, and then there's him. But you don't always feel love. You end up moving like what Jesus did at that time when the Father had to turn away from Jesus and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because of our sin that was placed upon him. But Jesus knew of God's love, of his Father's love for him, even though he did not feel it. And if we're living by feelings, our life's going to be a roller coaster. Because sometimes you feel good and sometimes you don't. And you can't go by feelings. Do feelings work, or are y'all in agreement with that? Okay. So it's like I choose to believe in God no matter what I see, think, or feel. We ever heard that? It's kind of neat. What else do you know about the love of God? Anybody? I'm just asking. You know what, Don? That is so true. He loves you more than you love you. But you know what? The more we get to know Him, the more we find out His love for us. Master, what's the greatest commandment? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And as you hang out with the Father, Psalm 115, it says, He is mindful of us. Psalm 139, 17, His thoughts toward us are more than the sand of the sea. And the neat, one of the neatest things about God is as you hang out with Him, you start finding out how He sees, thinks, and feels about you. And when you start believing that, I know y'all have heard this like a million times, but it's like, I can't get over it. I have just never gotten over the love of God. Of course, I got saved 34 years ago. Maybe I'll get over it pretty soon. I don't know, but I don't think so. It's like, I just can't seem to get over His love for me. And it's not based, as somebody said, it's not based on my performance. I think Gordon said that. And He does love me more than I love myself. Because sometimes I listen to the enemy and I end up beating myself up or condemning myself. And I find out He says, I was already condemned for you. I was already beaten for you. Why are you doing that? That's just a lie of the enemy. Isn't that amazing? I'm telling you, it's so incredible. You brought up a very interesting point. We do to others what we do to ourselves. If we expect ourselves to, like we were raised to have manners, to do something like chew with your mouth closed. Well, you were taught to do that as a kid. Chew with your mouth closed. So now you make a point to chew with your mouth closed and you're around people who look like cows. Then it upsets you because you're putting a belief system on you of how you're supposed to act, and you have that as a belief system of what's right and wrong that was put into you by your parents. So you turn around, we turn around, and put it on others, the same thing that we put on ourselves. And then we get mad and irritated because I have to do this. Why aren't you doing this? And so that's why when Scott said, I'm finding that I was beating myself up by condemning myself, he said I wanted to beat others up for that same. Say what? You didn't want to beat others up like you were beating yourself up. You did, but you knew you shouldn't, right? Right. Say what? That's right. And that's why people don't come to Jesus. His love is faithful. He never quits loving. He doesn't ever quit loving. It's endless. Eternal. Amazing. We're talking about the love of God, Lois. Just asking. Anybody learn anything about the love of God in the last month or two that's changed, or something has happened inside of you, an understanding that you have of the love of God that you didn't have a couple of months ago? And see, maybe there's something that you understood it before, but somehow it's been awakened inside of you and it's living in you different. That would be a revelation from God. Just being with Him heals us beyond our understanding. People will ask me, how's this happening at Burning Bush? And I'm like, I don't know, because I'm not doing it. God's doing it. It's like, I'm just watching God at work. I just love, it's like when we're in His presence. Just being in His presence. So it's like your life has changed. You don't want to do the same things out of love for Him, not out of guilt, but out of love for Him, because you love Him. His love is jealous. He constantly pursues us, doesn't He? A lot of times the things that we try to fill that love void, He makes sure that they don't fill it, because He wants to be the one who fills that. He's the only perfect mother and father. None of us were properly fathered and mothered, because hurting people can't help but hurt other people. And God wants to take up where our mother and father left or lacked. and to meet that need. He wants to be our need meter. That is so cool. I love that. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. It's powerful, isn't it? But a whole lot of things try to separate us, don't they? We can separate us by not believing, by not receiving, by listening to the lies of the enemy. We get to choose what we're going to believe. God gave everyone a right, and that right is to have a free will. In John 10:30, he says, "Ye are gods." And it's because every one of us is a god of our own life. And we get to choose what we're going to believe. We get to choose how we're going to treat our Creator, how we're going to treat others. We get to choose what we're going to believe, what we're going to make decisions from, every one of us. His love is powerful. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. We even talked about sin. Can sin separate us from the love of God? What's the answer? Is it yes or no? I can't hear you.
Yes. Yes.
Anybody else?
No.
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 Yes. No.
Yes.
Which is it?
Yes.
Romans 5:8. Do you know Romans 5:8? Romans 5:8. You ought to memorize that verse. It will help you. It will help you. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth. That word commend means to show, to demonstrate. And when I was looking it up the other day, it said another meaning of that word is to introduce, which God just opened it up for me the other day. But God introduced His love toward us. See, His love is not like our love. Our love is conditional. Our love is, well, it's shallow, but our love is conditional. It has a cutoff point. We cut it off. God doesn't. But God introduced His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. Claudia, while we were sinning, Jesus Christ died for us. While we were sinners. That's His love. See, God loves you whether you love Him or not. Those of us who love Him, 1 John 4:19, it says, we love Him because He first loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. Husbands, love your wives. The wife see that she reverence, respect her husband. God is an initiator. God is an initiator. Men are supposed to be initiators. Women are reciprocators. We love Him because He first loved us. I love Sue. I don't want nothing to do with you, she says. It's like, that's okay. I'm going to love you anyway. And my love just relentlessly pursued her till she started loving me. Say what? I stalked her. I did.
Where I came from.
I got saved. I was never going to get married because of what I had seen in my own life. And I was never going to get married. And when I got saved, He put in my heart, you need a wife. And I started praying for a wife. And as soon as I met her, I had this thought. The Holy Spirit said, and I had met other girls because I got saved in July and I met her in January. And I met other girls and it was like, nope, 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 like nothing inside. Before it would have been, yep. And now it was like, nope. And as soon as I met her, the Holy Spirit inside of me said, this is who you're going to marry. So I started trying to get her to date me. I was loving her. loving her. I was pursuing her. And she was running as fast as she could, giving me the stiff arm. No, no, no. Not by the hair of your chinny chin chin. And she is running from me. And the love of God is just pursuing her. Because I didn't, you know, it's like I met all these other girls. But when I met her, that's who I was supposed to marry. I just knew it. You know, do you ever know something down inside? You just know it? Well, I knew it. So I'm trying to get her to go out with me, and nope, nope, nope. I guess, like she said, I was stalking her. And then one day she said, "You don't understand. I am not ever going to have anything to do with you. Ever. Read my lips. Never." And I said, "It's okay. You don't have to date me. You're going to marry me." She said, "You are crazy." I said, "That's beside the point. You're still going to marry me." So she thought, "I know what I'll do. I'll start reading the Bible with him. I'll run him off." So she said, "Let's read the Bible." I said, "Good. Good. If you need to see a picture of what I look like at the time, you can come. I have it in the back of my Bible with my long hair and all that." And she starts reading the Bible with me, and I'm just eating it up, Don. I'm just like, because I had just met Jesus, and I'd met him by reading the Bible, and I just wanted more of Jesus, you know. So she's taking me and starting to show me stuff in the Bible, and I'm just enjoying it. And God says to her, "He's going to be a preacher." And she knew it before I did. All I know is his love pursued. And that's what God does. He's pursuing us. He wants a relationship with you so bad. Do you like to wait in line?
No.
I'm sorry. Don't you like, "Please hold." You know what? I get that every day on the phone. You know what my answer is? "Oh, please, can I? I haven't got to do it all day. Please, could I hold?" And yeah. You know. Do you like to wait in line? But God waits while we put everything else in front of him. He says, "I love you so much, Tim. I love you so much, Wayne. I love you so much, Tari. Love you so much, Dudley. I love you so much, Julian. That while you pursue other things, you're focused, you're caught up in other things. You're trying to make yourself happy. You're trying to fill your own voids. I love you so much. I'll just wait. Because you're worth it. You're worth it. You are worth it. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. I'll wait. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. He loves you that much." Is that in the Bible? Man, I'm glad you asked. Turn over to Luke 15. We were going there. And you've got Psalm 139, 23, and 24. Would you read that for us while we're turning to Luke 15?
"Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting."
I love hearing you read. That is so cool. Look at the first two words of what he just read. Two verses I asked you to memorize a long time ago, because it's something that you need to say to God every day. And it starts off with this. You see, you're going to get out of today, you're going to get out of it to the extent that you want. Somebody told me recently that Joyce Myers makes this statement. You're as close to God as you want. And today, what do you want? Do you want Jesus? I'm glad you do. I don't know that anybody else does. I didn't hear anybody. Do you want Jesus?
Yes.
Okay. Would you like a little bit of Jesus?
No.
Well, how much of Jesus do you want?
A whole
lot. No, really. How much do you... No, how much do you personally want?
All of it.
When I was thinking about that during worship, my arms went like this. God, I just want all of you. I just expand my capacity to receive more of you. Right now, search me, oh God. I'm just asking you to say that yourself. Not, I don't care if you say it out loud or not. What I care about is that you, right now, stop, focus on God, and just say those two words. Search me. Search me. Search me. Because I need you. I'm desperate for you. And if I'm not desperate, make me desperate. Thank you, Jesus. Luke 15. Are you there? Go to verse 11. And he said, oh yeah, I forgot. I was supposed to read this to you. I'm going to read you some verses. I will give you the references as I go through. I'm not asking you to go look them up. You can look them up later, but I just feel like I'm supposed to read these verses to you about the love of God. You ready? Psalm 69:9. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, Jesus says, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, an eternal love, an endless love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. How many times have we just felt the love of God just drawing us? How many times his kindness, his mercy, reaching out. How many times we turn away. Why would we do that? But he loved us so much, he pursued us. Because you now love him because he first loved you. I wonder. Oh my, I'm sorry. Okay, Lord, here we go. Here we go. John 3:16. Now, you may think you know this verse, but I love this verse the way he gave it to me one time, and this is the way I always think of it every time I go to read it. For God so loved the world. Now let's pick somebody in here. Let's take Dave or let's take Paula. For God so loved, is Dave part of the world?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Is Dave?
Yes.
How about Paula? Is she part of the world?
Yes.
Okay, you ready? For God so loved Dave. For God so loved Paula. See, so often we read the Bible and we don't personalize it. Do you understand this is God's love letter to you? Do you understand? This is the life. This is life's manual. How are you going to put things together if you don't read the instructions? Oh, yeah. For God so loved Paula and Dave, that God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that if Paula and Dave would believe in Jesus, would rest on him, would depend on him, Paula and Dave should not perish, should not have a wasted life that ends in destruction, but have everlasting, endless, fulfilling life. John 13:1. How long is his love? Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He does never quit loving. If you never change, if you decide to leave God, if you decide to go live the most wicked, vile, hurting life and make Hitler look like a Sunday school kid, and you're dying of AIDS and every other kind of disease, and you're on death row and they're going to put you to death for countless murders, the love of God, God loves you so much that he's going to be right there wooing you, right there wanting to comfort you, right there reaching out to you, because he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. To come, he created you for fellowship. And no matter how much you've been deceived by the enemy and have bought into it and followed that and even thought God was your enemy and treated him despite and spit in his face, he loves you. You can't get him to quit loving you. He loves you. Oh, my word. Jesus, you're like totally incredible. John 15:13. Greater love. He says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. When Jesus was on the cross, was he surrounded by his friends or by his enemies? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. While they spat on him, while they stripped him, while they beat him. This is Easter Sunday. I challenge you today, read Matthew 27. And just every time you're reading Matthew 27, as you're reading through there, look at how many times it talks about Jesus and what was done to Jesus. He, him, Jesus. I'm going through, just highlighting them in green. That's how I do in my iPod for God. The things of God is green. And the green that just shows up in there. And then the red of what they did to him. And actually what we did to him. But his love toward us is so great. He said there is no greater than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me. You ever ask that question? Who loves me? Who loved me and gave himself for me? Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Ephesians 2:4-5. But God, who is rich in mercy. Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin. Gary, dead in sin. Hath quickened us, has raised us up, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace, by the ability of God, ye are saved. Ephesians 3, 17 and 19, 17 through 19, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. Brother Harvey, we've been coming here for the last 4, 5, 6 weeks. All you talk about is the love of God. You know what? That ye, being rooted and grounded in love. Okay, God loves me. Okay, I got it. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible told me so. Okay, let's next. God wants us to understand, wants us to so understand His love for us because we're lacking in love. We are lacking in love. We don't have the love that we need. We don't believe the love of God because we think it's like the love of people and like there's limits and like He cuts us off and like He gets tired of us. That's why God has me keep going over this. That's why I keep asking, what is it you know about the love of God? Because what good does it do us to go on if you don't have it yet? You see, you first get it here. It's presented here. And then you have to make a choice. Will you receive it? And then when you receive it in your heart and you embrace it and say, I want to believe that, then God begins to unravel layers of lies in your life. And as He unravels that layer of a lie, okay, of what you believed, well, yeah, God loves me as long as I go to church. Well, yeah, God loves me as long as I put money in the bucket. Well, yeah, God loves me if or when. But I sinned. I went out and so I'm sure God's fed up with me. And when you believe that way, you have a belief system that God wants to unravel this lie. And when He exposes and unravels that lie, now you have a choice. Wow, I see it. That's a lie. And you break agreement with that, then you can receive a truth that God loves you, not based on your performance. He doesn't ever give up on you. But others give up on you. Do you understand? Are you with us? I can't do it, Lord. You have to do it. I think we were in... Yep. Do me a favor. Give me a second here. Ephesians 3, 17 and 19, right? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Are you in Luke 15? Verse 11. And he said, Jesus said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided of them his living. Man has two sons. One son comes to him and says, am I your heir? He goes, yeah. He says, well, I don't want to wait for it. Give it to me now. And the father divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and that man sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have desired to fill his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. This son left his father, went and wasted his life. Does it sound like, could we make it real simple and say he went and lived a sinful life? Did he do that? And when he came to the end of himself, he had lost everything. No man, nobody is given to him. He feels all alone. He doesn't have his needs being met. He says, if I just went back to my dad and said, I don't even need to be your son, I'll just be your servant. It says, when he went to return to his father saw him a great way off. And that's how many times, that's where we are when we come to God in the first place, is we're a great way off. And that's where we are many times in our lives, is we end up being a great way off. That's why we started this, Gord, with Search Me. And we find ourselves a great way off. The other day or the other week, they had a saying up on the board in the coffee bar, and it said, if you feel far from God, who do you think moved? Or something like that. And we feel a great way off. But what's so neat is this father could have said, well, I'm just writing him off, or he'll find out, he'll learn the hard way. He could have said all these things that we've said. What else could he have said? What else have we heard? I don't want nothing to do with him. He'll figure it out. How about somebody told me recently that he came from a wealthy family, and when his life got devastated and he got into crack, his mom said, I don't want nothing to do with you. You're no more heir of mine. I don't have a son. No wonder that guy has a hard time believing the love of God when the love of his parents cut him off when he needed them the most. You know when people need to be loved the most is when they deserve it the least.
That's right. That's right.
That's why when that preacher went to pray with me and he said, Dear God, I'm sorry I'm a sinner. And I said, no, I'm sorry that I'm a low down. Sorry. Scumbait, wretched, wicked, in the gutter, vile sinner. Let's get real. You see, God loves us right where we are. And He loves us when we deserve it the least. And He never gives up. And He's watching. He's watching. He's looking for us. He's looking for you. Jesus, I'm just asking today that you would just make your love so real, reaching out to each one in this place, that each one would not just feel loved, but would know that they are eternally loved for who they are, not what they do. And that, Lord, you would just draw them unto yourself. I commit each one into your hands. I thank you for what you've been doing. You're doing a good job. But I ask that you would continue to make it alive inside of us and help us to allow you to love others through us and to see them through your eyes with your heart. We just say thank you, Jesus.